Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Hope you're all having a great start to your Friday Eve out there. Happy Thursday, everybody. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Woohoo! Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good here. Another blue sky kind of morning over here.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see that super moon?
Oh my goodness.
God. Yes.
I took about a billion pictures of that thing. You would think I've never seen a moon before, the way I was just drooling and looking at that thing.
So cool.
It was just a beautiful moon out there last night.
Yeah, so you got another chance to see it tonight. It'll still look full for everyone who missed it. But like James said, you were just drawn to it. There's just something about this one. It is the closest one so far this year. It is massive, bright, and beautiful. And the best time to see it is right when it rises. So if you can check that out right after sunset, it's going to be gorgeous. Otherwise, today's going to be gorgeous, honestly. We are staying bright, blue, beautiful, into the mid-60s. We've got some feisty winds that are going to gust up to about 25 to 30 miles per hour today. So a little windy out there, but it's a south wind, so that is what's shoving us into this unseasonable warmth. So it's up and up from here.
Yeah, all right. There we go. Yeah, not bad, not bad. And there is such an optical illusion with that moon. That has existed our whole lives, where it just feels like it's hanging right there,
yep.
Just right touchable.
I could almost see the string. Yeah,
you can almost. You could see a face on there. You get so close last night, you could see a smile on there. It was great.
If you jump high enough, you may have been able to touch it, right?
There you go.
As a little kid on the high rises, I tried. I'm not going to lie to any of the audience. I will not lie to you guys. I tried. Brittany, we appreciate you. We'll talk again tomorrow. Get people ready for the weekend.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
You too. Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joins us every morning. Seth and I got some good stuff to get into in a little bit. Well, yeah, I got the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club. Before I wrap up the 8 o'clock hour, what's the most refreshing thing to drink cold liquid out of? It's awfully specific.
That is very specific. Yeah, yeah. My goodness.
It's a really, really, really just scraping.
Refreshing.
We're just trying to grab everything as far as the survey now. If there is a question, we're going to have a survey on it.
Doesn't matter.
Got that coming up. We've also got to talk a little bit about the Butterball unveiling a cook from Frozen Thanksgiving turkey.
Oh, wow.
Frito-Lay's adding some stuff to their chips. That's good. All that coming up. We'll also, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, kick things off the way we like to on a Thursday with our Pet of the Week from the Southwood County Humane Society.
Very nice.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Entertainment news coming up for you. We'll talk a little bit of Al Pacino being broke. We have Crypto, the super dog from Superman, to talk about, and some local theater. All that coming up.
Wow, what a mix.
I thought I'd throw it in there. What is the smallest hill you're willing to die on? The smallest hill you're willing to die on. We'll get into that one a little bit later. That should be a great one. And some good stories of the day. We'll talk about our schedule as well. But the first story we have, and we have a tradition of doing this, covering the giant pumpkins and the records being broken by them and everything. It combines, our world record thing that we do here on the show a lot.
Yep.
And pumpkins.
We love the pumpkins.
We love pumpkins. A Minnesota man won the Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off with a 2,471-pound squash he dubbed Rudy. I don't know why Rudy. I don't know.
He could have done like monster gourd, or he could have done like a lot of more.
It's a lot of angles you could go on
yeah.
that one. But Rudy, okay. Travis Ganger of traveled with his gargantuan gourd to the competition in Half Moon Day, California, where it was placed on a massive scale and dubbed the heaviest in the contest.
There you go.
The win marked Greger's fourth top spot win in the Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off.
Wow.
Try to put that on a shirt.
Yeah, right.
a big shirt. In 2023 contest, Geiger's 2,749-pound pumpkin, named Michael Jordan, took the top spot. It's interesting.
Four, So does that mean that Rudy is like the character Rudy from the movies? He do like a sports thing? Maybe that's what he's referencing all this?
Okay. All maybe right. That's what he's doing. I didn't even catch that. But one of the, like, as far as a like well-loved sports movie, one of the most unfactual sports movies you will ever watch in your life.
It is so fake.
There is, like, I don't know, outside of the guy, the character's name Rudy, I think that's the only thing that's actually factual about that movie. So that was a cool one. And we'll see if there's a bigger one out there when it comes to these pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is an interesting story. We do a lot of that ain't right stories. Then there's the stories of just there are no coincidences, that things just happen.
Okay.
A Missouri man said getting called into work on his day off ended up being a lucky turn of events when he scored a $1 million lottery prize.
Wow.
The Perry County man told Missouri lottery officials he headed to work but needed gas, so he stopped on the way to Casey's in Perryville. They called me in because they needed some help, quote, the player said. And I had to stop to put gas in the car, so I picked up one of those tickets just, you know, by chance.
Mm-hmm.
The man selected a scratch off at his desk and scratched it off later at the day and revealed a $1 million prize at his desk. He realized this.
Wow.
The player ended up calling his wife to come in and verify what he was seeing. Once I saw it, I was like, wait a minute. His wife recalled. the player said he was equally shocked. I couldn't believe it until I got to the lottery office. I wasn't even sure it was real until they told him it was real. He had to have an actual lottery official tell him this is a real thing.
He was really struggling with that. He couldn't believe it. Wow.
We got another guy about a guy that skipped a trip to a Michigan casino and won a $2 million lottery ticket. So we may have figured out part of the lottery scheme.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Just do it unintentionally.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
On a whim, just a random thing. Yep.
Don't plan on it. You're just bopping around, and all of a sudden, you know what? Boom, get it. You know,
you got it.
That seems to be the way to do this.
You mean like it's random?
Yes.
It's like it's random, James.
It's almost as if there is no rhyme or reason for any of this.
Wow.
I thought that was a good one. But all these stories lead us to another world record, and one a Chinese textile company did. They assembled a team of more than 30 garment makers to break the Guinness World Record for the largest pair of jeans.
The largest pair of jeans?
The garment markers from Yixing Textile in Yulin City spent 18 days working to create the massive pants, which measure 250 feet, 5 inches long, and have the waist circumference of 190 feet and 10 inches.
Wow.
And I'm showing Seth a picture of these pants here.
Wow, that's impressive.
They are bigger than a building.
Like, they are.
Take up the front of the building.
That is really cool. Actually, not an interesting design for those jeans, too, I'd have to say.
I don't see the JNCO sign or any of the, like, you know, I mean, they're missing. Like, this was big in the early 90s, the baggy jeans.
Right.
I don't know who they're going to sell these to, Seth. I don't know how this is going to work. Isn't the skinny jean thing the thing now?
I don't know.
No, they went back to the baggy jeans. That's right. They went back to that.
They maybe go back and forth for constantly. Yeah. You know, maybe Paul Bunyan's ready to turn in his overalls. You know, maybe looking for some skinny jeans. He needs something different.
Because what else are you going to do with these? Like, okay, hey, we broke the world record. Cool. All right.
Now what?
Who wants it? Does anybody have a big enough hanger? What kind of hanger do you use for something like that?
The cowboy neon thing from Vegas, you know, even know if he's around anymore, if they took him down, but he could use those jeans.
In Texas, they got the Sam Houston statue, which is one of the biggest statues or biggest things I've ever seen in my life. Nobody warned me about that. We're just driving through Texas all of a sudden.
What is that?
Who is that? Sam Houston. I said, okay.
Could he use some jeans? We got some jeans for him.
And if I remember right, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere almost. I'm not trying to be mean here, but
no.
A lot of Texas looked the same to me when it wasn't the city. It's a lot of flat land.
A lot of Texas is kind of the same looking. It's very flat and dry.
I don't know. It might have been near a city. It might have been. I don't remember. But other than Sam or the guy from Vegas or something, I'm not sure what you do with these jeans.
Nope.
As a side note, I've gotten into this debate with my sister and many people over my life. I hang my jeans. So many people fold them and look at me ridiculously for hanging my jeans. 424-2600. Do you hang your jeans?
How ridiculous is James?
Yes, ridiculous. But really, that's the question. Really, really. It's an open question. You can answer, call in any time and answer.
I want the crease to be just right.
We will take a time out. We'll come back doing some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe right now. They're at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day and check out some of those amazing specials they have.
Yes.
They do serve, of course, a wonderful breakfast and lunch that you can enjoy every day. And they've got, they're doing some decorating over there. They got some great Halloween stuff up over there.
Love it.
Be sure to check that one out. I wonder if they've got some Day of the Dead things out and stuff too.
They probably do. I wouldn't be surprised.
Check out our friends over at El Cafe. Wish them a great morning. Buenas noches to our friends over at El Cafe. Wish them a good morning over there, everybody. Good people. Good people over there. And buy local, support local, support those that support us, everybody. We've got a lot of great teammates here with advertisers, and El Cafe is a big one of them.
Yep.
So go ahead and support what they're doing. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. Mm-hmm. Love celebrating with you. You can email any of our staff or email us directly at info@WFHR.com. You can email our staff at james.mailov@civicmedia.us or seth@civicmedia.us.
Yes. You don't need my last name.
melissa.k@civicmedia.us. You get the idea. You can go ahead and direct message us on our Facebook pages and, of course, call up.
424-2600. Call right now, everyone, and get another birthday on our list, which looks substantial today.
I'm impressed. Got a really nice list today. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 possible qualifiers. Ooh, Seth, nice. I need a 1 through 6.
Wow, let's go with 5 today. It's a number I don't feel like I pick enough. It's 5.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. Yeah, I like that. All right, so we got ourselves our qualifier here.
All right.
I had to tell you there were 6 after counting out 6, just to really bring it home.
Just to bring it all home.
Oh, boy. Let's go ahead and we go. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Melinda McNett.
Happy birthday, Melinda.
Melinda's joined us on the airwaves here a couple of times. Wonderful personality, wonderful person doing good work in the community. Have a great day, Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
We wish happy birthday to Fran Bailey Goki.
Oh, happy birthday, Fran.
Enjoy your day, Fran. Hope it's a good one for you. Sherry Romansky, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sherry.
Enjoy the day. Also, happy birthday to Pat Stratton.
Happy birthday, Pat.
I hope you have a good one, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And we wish a happy 32nd anniversary to Dale and Tina Dahl.
Dale and Tina And Dale Dahl, I believe, is the music teacher at Rams.
Yeah.
That's right. So congratulations to those two. Very nice.
Appreciate what he does for the kids and in the community. A great music teacher. And we are wishing them a happy 32nd. Happy 32nd, Eugene.
Yes, indeed.
And our qualifiers today celebrating their 4th anniversary. How cool is that?
That's great.
Brady and Paige Jackin.
Brady and Paige, congratulations. Have a great anniversary. 4 years. Wow. And they said you couldn't make it.
Come on.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. You got many ahead of you. Brady and Paige, we're wishing you a happy anniversary. And your qualifiers, we say brag to everybody. Brag around. Let everybody know. We appreciate everybody getting these birthdays and anniversaries. That's a fun list.
Yes. Keep them coming. We want more lists like this.
Yes.
Big lists. We like big lists.
The more the merrier.
Yeah.
We could not have enough. I would much rather. We put the celebrities in here to just, you know,
fill
have
time.
Fun with it and everything. Yeah. We'd much rather spend the time on you guys. We take a look at that celebrity list. Felicity Jones is 41. Ruth Bader Ginsburg on The Basis of Sex, also the star of Rogue One, and Stephen Hawking's wife in The Theory of Everything.
Okay, I knew a Rogue One. That's where I saw her. Yeah. Okay, I knew that I'd recognize the name.
She's so good in
She's very good in that.
There is, some of the better acting you'll ever see in sci-fi is in that movie.
That whole movie. Everyone is great in that one.
It's so hard for me to say this with the way I feel about Empire, but that is probably my favorite Star Wars movie.
It's
so hard for me to say that, but it genuinely is. And I think it's arguably a top 5 greatest sci-fi movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's so, and I watched it like just casually, like, I don't like Star Wars. I don't like prequels, blah, 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 blah. Oh my God. It was amazing.
Which shows that it can be done.
Yeah.
You can do it if you put a little thought and effort into it.
Her work in Theory of Everything is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I think she was nominated for an Oscar for that too. Eminem is 52. Marshall Mathers is 50 in his 50s.
52 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. That makes me feel old now. Wow.
One of the better rhymers in hip-hop history.
Yep.
And Midwest Zone. He's a Detroit boy.
He's a Detroit boy.
Chris Kirkpatrick is 53 from NSYNC.
Oh, okay. Boy, can't get two more different artists there.
Right, right.
Those two together. Yeah.
And to bring it all together, Ziggy Marley is 56. So somehow it kind of combines all that.
I love that. That's great.
Considered one of the better reggae artists out there and everything. Very fun. Mike Judd is 62. Genius creator behind Office Space, Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, does the voice of Beavis and Butthead and Hank Hill.
Yes, that's right.
And if you were a kid watching Beavis and Butthead, you got to see early versions of Hank Hill on the show back in the day and everything. He did a show on Cinemax that was all based on like road show musicians and their stories on the road. And part of it was animated and part of it was interviews with the actual artists and everything. It's one of the cooler behind the scenes thing you'll ever see.
Wow.
It's so well done, so well written and animated and everything. I think it's the coolest thing he's done outside of Office Space. Outside of Office Space. Office Space is a classic. That's so dang good. That's one of those repeats for me.
Yeah, that's like one of the cultiest classics around.
It sure is, to me at least. Alan Jackson is 66.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the more popular artists since we were kids.
Yes, 100%,
man. Going back to the 90s and everything with that one.
One of the leaders of the neo-traditionalist movement.
Yeah, I knew that. See, I couldn't think of the name. I knew there was kind of a name for it and everything that they had given.
Yeah,
to
him. Don't ask his opinion right now about country music as it is right now. Yeah. He has very little nice things to say about it.
Yeah, yeah, which is sad to me, but at the same time, you know, opinions are opinions.
That's
everybody's
right.
got one. Let's see here. Okay, Mike Judd presents Tales from the Tour Bus.
Oh, okay.
It's only 12 episodes, but if you love music and you love behind the scenes stuff and like on the road stories with Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and all that, James Brown and Mike Judd, Tales from the Tour Bus. It's so good. You guys need to check that out if you're interested. Let's see. Bill Hudson is 75 of the Hudson Brothers. Kate Hudson is his daughter with Goldie Hawn.
Oh, that's right.
He was also married to Cindy Williams for a while, too.
Oh.
the legend George Wendt is 76.
Ah, love me some George Wendt.
Jason Sudeikis is his nephew, actually, which is kind
really?
Of interesting. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Certainly everybody knows him as Norm from Cheers. He had some other great roles here and everything as well. But a lot of us out of Chicago will always remember George as one of the founding members of Steppenwolf Theater.
Mm.
One of the guys that really, along with John Mahoney, Gary Sinise, and of course John Malkovich, and Mesha Taylor, really got that theater to where it is now, where it is considered the Broadway of the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
There is maybe no theater other than 30 Rock Stage in New York that I would rather be on and want to be on. And one of the actors I'd like to be on it with is George Wendt.
George Wendt, he hasn't done a lot of like TV, except for Norm, of course, and movies and stuff. That's because he's mostly a theater actor. Marvelous song and dance man.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a great singer, great dancer. I mean, he's all around talent.
You'll never hear him say anything other than love for that role.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel for him in some ways because while it was his big break, it was also his detriment because no casting agent ever looked at him as anything other than Norm.
Right.
And so when it came, hey, I'm trying out for this role that I sing and I dance in. Oh, nobody wants to see that. But I can do it really good.
Yes.
I'm very good at this. Let me do my job. Yeah. And they don't, give people an opportunity and everything. George Wendt, great actor and one of Midwest's own.
Boy, they did a remake of Bye Bye Birdie. I can't remember, like in the late 90s or early 2000s. And he plays the father. Oh my God, he's so good in that.
Yeah, a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
Michael McKean is 77, another great actor.
Wow.
Everybody will remember him as Lenny from Laverne and Shirley, or maybe the lead in Spinal Tap as David Seat Hubbins, I believe.
Oh, man.
A lot of great roles over the years. A lot of great stuff over the
years. Michael McKean has popped up in so many things that you wouldn't even expect. And he's good in all of them. He's great.
Jim Seals, born in this day, as we look at people that are no longer with us, born in 42, passed away just recently in 2022. Summer Breeze, Diamond Girl, so many yacht rock classics from our friends at Seals and Croft.
That's right.
Great band.
Yep.
Really good band.
Mm-hmm.
Norm MacDonald. Born on this day in 1959, aww, passed away in 2021. Another one gone too soon.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like him, I like going back and looking at a lot of the skits that he did and a lot of the interviews. Norm MacDonald, great interview. him on the Conan show, being around that, like I didn't talk to Norm Macdonald right. or anything mm-hmm. like that. And actually that day I didn't even see Conan O'Brien until he was on stage. Mm-hmm. He was so busy hanging out with Norm. Like we had this thing, we get there about noon. And as we go into the writer's room and we start going over stuff and everything, and a lot of it is already preset. So we're really looking at topical things and going, hey, this happened last night. Mm-hmm. We should talk about it kind of thing. And Conan is integral to that, as you would imagine. He's not only the best writer in the room, he's doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's important. He was nowhere to be found. It was the only time this happened in the year or 7 months I was there. Mm-hmm. And when nobody could figure it out, nobody knew that Norm Macdonald was going to be on the show that day because the guest that they had lined up had just canceled like 20 minutes beforehand.
Yeah.
He reached out to Norm and Norm just showed up.
Yep.
And gave like two segments of some of the funniest TV. You go back, it's Conan on the TBS show. Mm-hmm. And you will hear me laughing along with like a couple of the other writers in the back because we're right behind. There's a big picture with the moon mm-hmm. on it and everything yep. that they used to mess around with. Right behind there you could stand and hear the interview like you were putting mm-hmm. your ear to the wall, and you can you can hear us writers just laughing our tails off because of those two. Norm Macdonald, one of the funniest human beings I think I've ever heard of, in person or anything
like that. Was it the 99 ESPY Awards? The infamous where he was the host and he destroyed everybody. I mean, it's considered like one of the greatest and bravest emceeing gigs ever.
So many good movies, so many good roles. And one of those guys that ticked off Lorne Michaels and still Lorne loved him. Like that, like one of the few people.
He got fired, didn't he?
He got fired.
He got fired from SNL.
And was welcomed back like a week later, like and stuff. I think that's the only time that may have ever happened in mm-hmm. SNL history, too. That's how well liked he was.
Yep.
Margot Kidder, born in this day, 1948, passed away in 2018. My Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Always be my Lois Lane. And a wonderful actor who mm-hmm. also, as much of a good actor as she was and a great job that she did as Lois Lane, you can make the argument her greatest work was off camera with talking about the struggles that she was going through and mm-hmm. different things that she had physically that she had to go with her.
Also, one of the more early women actors who kind of told it like it was in terms of what it was like to be an actress in Hollywood and all the bad stuff that would go along with that. She was very brave because she was one of the early ones that came out and talked about it.
So true. Well noted.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Evel Knievel, born in this day in 1938, passed away in 2007. The last,
how did he survive that long?
The last to do that job. Like, you're not going to see anybody. Like, you see Jackass, you see some of these shows nowadays that do it kind of almost on a smaller level or whatever. But imagine trying to get insurance or advertisers or anybody else. Hey, so I want to jump the Grand Canyon. Where are you going? Wait, let me finish. No, nobody's hearing you do that, man. Like, you'll never see that again.
His son tried. Captain Robbie Knievel, I don't know if people remember him. It didn't work. He was like one of a kind. He was like the only guy who was able to do all this stuff.
And here's part of the other part of this nowadays. For one, you'd worry about influencing younger kids to do these things, like Bart Simpson.
You're exactly what you're thinking about. Truckosaurus.
but more so, you've got about a billion kids doing this online already. So, like, what's the, he jumped something. Okay, well, I just saw a TikTok video of that. Mm-hmm. But all the pomp and circumstance behind it, there wasn't much on TV. There wasn't much things like this. Now there's so many things to watch. How would you go to Nike, sponsor this event that I'm going to do? What are you doing? I'm jumping the Grand Canyon. Okay, what else?
On a motorcycle.
What else? They're going to ask for more and more and more. Yeah. Like, I just don't think you'll ever see another stunt, artist or whatever you want to say like that.
I mean, by the time we were around, it was kind of towards the tail end of his career. But we would still occasionally get that, and it was such a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, Evel Knievel's going to jump the Snake River in a thing. And it's like, wow, and then everything would stop, and we'd all watch.
Yeah.
It's like, will this probably be the time that he does? But he always made it. He always made it over.
And nowadays, people might not even believe it. Like, oh, it's fake. That was Photoshop. They superimposed me. Tom Poston, born in this day in 1921, passed away in 2007. Mr. Binkley on Mork and Mindy. George on Newhart. Mr. Norton on Grace Under Fire. Great TV actor.
One of the deadpan comedians. He was a stand-up guy, too, before that.
That's right.
And he was kind of like the whole Stephen Wright thing. Stephen Wright was later, but Tom Poston was the serious flat face, you know, monotone comedian. He's very good. Very good.
And we wrap up with Arthur Miller. Would have been celebrating a birthday today. Born in 1915. One of America's greatest playwrights. Death of a Salesman, The Crucible, A View from a Bridge, After the Fall, The Price. I'm trying to think if there's any others that I'm missing. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And a very good writer.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of Death of a Salesman. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Not a fan.
The confessions are coming out now.
I think he's got such better work. A View from a Bridge alone.
Right.
I think Death of the Salesman is a little overrated. I think it was big because of the time it came out.
Oh, absolutely.
And at the time, what people were feeling and going through a lot of that and everything. Yep. But I don't know that it holds up. But I will say The Crucible and all of his other work.
Oh, The Crucible, absolutely. That's timeless, yeah.
And one of the better playwrights, again, that America has ever produced and ever will produce.
He's got to be up there with your Neil Simons and your Eugene O'Neills. He's one of the big five, I would say.
It still means something to do an Arthur Miller play, to have that on your resume. It's still a feather in the cap. That's how important his work is. Even younger actors or casting directors out there will still stop when they see that on your resume.
Yeah.
One more time, wishing a happy birthday and anniversary to everybody out there. Wishing you a good one. Keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries. And keep celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. Head on over there right now. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. In the cool of the evening, when everything is getting kind of groovy. Getting groovy around here. Hope you're having a good one out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. Happy Thursday. Seth and James hanging out with you. And we're talking turkey.
Let's talk turkey.
Talk turkey. The folks at Butterball have done it. The question is, how does this thing taste?
Oh, God.
Butterball unveiled a new turkey for Thanksgiving that you don't have to thaw out.
Wow.
You take it straight out of the freezer and just pop it in the oven. It's called Butterball Cooked from Frozen. Okay, wait a minute. Now, the marketing team, you know Butterball's got a good marketing team.
Yeah, they've done some good stuff over the years, yep.
I like me a Butterball turkey. Mm-hmm. That's good turkey.
Yep.
I'm not going to, you know, talk badly about the Butterball people or their marketing people. But that's what you got. That was the best you came up with.
Man, it's hard to, you know, to figure out, what do you call this thing, you know? I guess we're just going to call it what it is. Let's just go with that.
The Butterball ready to eat. I don't know. Butterball.
Thanksgiving in a flash turkey. Man, I don't know.
I feel like either of those are better. It's meant to avoid the common disaster where you realize you forgot to thaw out your turkey. Mm. It can take 3 days or more sometimes out of the fridge to thaw a turkey out.
It's true. That is correct.
They say it's also great for people who don't like touching raw meat. There's no neck or giblets, and it comes pre-brined. So you don't have to do anything except brush some of it, some oil on it. The direction literally says unwrap and cook. This is basically, I don't know who this is for, because it's a whole turkey, so it couldn't be for single guys.
I was going to say, no.
But I don't know.
Single guys that invited three people over? Maybe. I don't know.
That 4% of the population.
Not a lot of those guys around. Maybe. I don't know.
The average cook time is 5 hours, so not much longer than a normal turkey.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's possible because a, quote, specially formulated brine that they use, and they claim it comes out just as juicy, tender, and flavorful as a normal turkey does.
Okay.
The downside is it can't be stuffed. You have to make the stuffing separately, but if you're buying this turkey, let's be honest, you're probably making stovetop or something like that anyway.
And they've been telling us that we're not supposed to do that anymore anyway, to stuff the turkey with the stuffing because of issues, you know, possible cross-contamination, that kind of stuff. So it's, I don't mind. That's fine. That's fine.
I grew up in a big family, and Thanksgiving was one of the holidays we really all tried to get together for, you know, and I mean, family members come from out of state and all that. For decades, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went around and said we were thankful and everything.
Right.
And every year, my nana or my mom or my grandmother or one of these wonderful, wonderful individuals would always get there at the tail end of these thank yous and usually wrap it up. And it was kind of sweet to me as a kid, like, oh, our matriarch gets to wrap this up and all that. It wasn't because of that. It was because she was in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And she was busy cooking, keeping an eye on the turkey and all that. So I was making the jokes about single guys and everything. But what if this could actually, I don't know, give people a chance to enjoy their Thanksgiving and not have to spend 18 hours cooking a turkey.
Cooking a turkey, getting all this together.
That a lot of people end up complaining about and stuff. Let's be honest. not to their face, maybe.
No.
If they're smart. Yeah. And you shouldn't complain.
Because they have a big knife.
Eat the dang turkey. I don't care how dry or whatever it is. Eat the dang turkey. People just slaved over that for you. I don't know. I don't know if that's an actual thing. And I'm not at all trying to speak for anybody here either, because I could ask each one of those individuals and none of them, they would give me a cross look. Like, what are you talking about? I wanted to be in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I like to cook for my family. But I would imagine there's some moms or some dads or some people out there that might like to spend a little bit more of their Thanksgiving with their family.
Yeah, right. Instead of getting everything set and then cleaning up.
Maybe this frees people up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to taste, right? I mean, it's got to taste
good. If it tastes good, then I think we're all good. You know, if Butterball has, the way you started this, Butterball has done it. Done what?
Yeah.
They finally done it. We finally made it.
Now, here's the thing, and I want to get this out of the way before Thanksgiving. I don't get turkey. I don't get it.
You don't get turkey.
I don't get it.
Okay.
I don't get it. I don't understand the pull. I don't understand. Like, there's so many great meats out there. There's so many great things we could be doing. I don't understand turkey.
Hey, no one said you had to have turkey
I'll eat it.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. But I'm with you there. There's room for experimentation.
I had one thing that I was spoiled at as a kid growing up. I had one thing where I was spoiled, and it was Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter. Mm. While either people were eating ham on Easter in my family or Thanksgiving or Christmas, I mean, Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, obviously turkey, any of these big holidays, my Nana would make a little bowl of rigatone, and I'd just sit there and eat rigatone with her. Rigatone, and you know, just eat that and some marinara and some French bread, and we'd be good. Like, she'd cook all these huge meals, and that woman would, on the side, cook a little pot just for me and her.
That's really nice.
That's
something that you can cherish, man. Because in my family's like, you're gonna eat that. Yeah. They made us eat lutefisk at Christmas, man. They're not
different.
Making anything on the side for us.
No. And I cannot stress this enough. This is it, everybody. This is as far as any kind of being spoiled or getting extra of anything. You know, being the oldest in not just my family, but the oldest grandkid and everything didn't come with any kind of other than this. This was the one thing.
The one thing. And hey, man, you got a great memory from it.
But I also I've talked with my mom about this and everything, and I've joked with her about it here and there and stuff, and one of the things that she has mentioned about it is, you know, she did that just to make sure you'd eat. She's worried you wouldn't eat. I would have eaten the turkey.
Hungry.
How many of you would try this out there? 715-424-2600, 424-2600, just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Would this save time for you? Obviously, it'd save time, but would this be something you would want to do?
Yeah.
Would this be something you'd try?
Experiment.
I always think it's kind of cool. I've never been a part of this, but I was at one time. I was at where Will's family, my buddy out in Oakland, he's got a big extended family,
right?
And they make two different turkeys. They got one that they dump.
Oh, fry.
They fry it,
yes.
And then they have one turkey that just make kind of, I guess, traditionally and everything.
Roasted, yeah.
But different people like it different ways, so they just make the two. I've never seen that, but apparently a lot of people do that.
Yes.
Where they make two different turkeys even. Like this, if you're a family like that, I would think this would be really good. You try this one out, see if it works, and if it doesn't, well, you got the good turkey right over here.
You know?
I don't know.
Do the two turkey test.
I'm not sure how many families can afford or do that kind of thing, I'm not trying to be unrealistic. But I it's also one of those things. Say you do get this, you do try it, and you don't like it. That's rough. That could be a rough, that was the main course and everything.
I'm telling you, for every disappointing holiday meal, you end up with actually a pretty good story.
That's true.
That's the silver lining, the plus of doing experimenting with something different.
And I will let you all in on a little bit of my people's secret, a little Jewish secret here at everything. Chinese restaurants. They're usually open. Usually open on holidays.
Oh, they are.
Yep, they're always usually are. Open.
I've done the Christmas. We've done the Christmas Day Chinese food in the past. Yep,
it's a staple.
Got to do it sometime.
I know families that don't have any food like that until that day, like Christmas or Easter or something like that.
You know they'll be open.
We will take a quick time out. Check in with our partners. We'll come back. We're talking about shrinkflation a little bit with some chips, and we want to talk about this drinks too. We got to get into that one, Seth. What is the most refreshing thing to drink cold liquid out of?
That's so weird.
It's a weird question.
That's a weird question.
We want your weird answers. Bring them to us right here on Mornings with Weird Guys on WFHR.
I think that's a new good name for a title.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR.
I put a spell on you.
We hope you're having a great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking out of right now? Is it is it cool? Is it refreshing? This is an interesting and random and kind of weird question, but hey, we just told you that's kind
we
of our
do
thing.
Weird here.
It's one of our things here. When you're really thirsty, what's the most refreshing thing to drink cold liquid out of? A recent poll asked people, and the results are kind of interesting. 37% of people say a glass cup is the best, and 33% say a glass bottle. I find that a kind of a classic answer. I think that's kind of interesting in this modern age, and when you got a million tumblers out there. And,
oh my gosh!
You know, Bear or Stanley or so many of these things that cost. I believe you have to take a mortgage out of your house to be able to
just
get those.
To get one of them you
while
know.
You're on a waiting list to get them. I'm not sure, and it's not my thing, but it's still a good old glass.
The glass is the best, and that's fascinating. That it's the bottle, of course. But with glasses, boy, you know, I thought with all the stainless steel stuff that's out there that would be one, but nope.
That comes in way second. 37% say the glass cup, 9% say a steel bottle, like one of those reusable insulated water bottles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
8% say an aluminum can, 7% say a plastic bottle, and 5% say a plastic cup.
I'm guessing, plastic, yeah. I'm not surprised that's on the bottom.
The little, they're a lot better nowadays, but back when the water coolers became more and more popular and everybody seemed like they had one at their office, there was those old school plastic little cups that just fell apart. It felt like as soon as you put water in them. And I hated those things. And I could never get back to my desk or anything like that with them before, spilling it all over.
They were so thin that if you, squeeze just a little bit, it would just collapse in your hand, right?
Is that one of the more difficult daily challenges? And I don't mean difficult at a scale of 1 to 10. I'm talking a 4 or 5.
Right.
But still, where you've got to get a thing of water from here to there and not spilling it with no lid, no nothing like that. It's still I don't care how old you are, how long you've been doing this.
Telling you.
It's one of those things that and you believe that you can be good at this. You believe that I've done this before. I'm not going to spill anyone.
I got it this time, man.
And it always spills somewhere you got to go remember where you spilled the water.
Yep.
Because you don't want somebody slipping out of it or something like that. And I don't know if you know this, Seth. Water's clear. It's not always easy to find. I find it every time.
You find it every single time.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't even know where really to go with this one.
Well, it's
that's
it's,
all I have.
It was specifically
on this one.
Refreshing. It was refreshing. So I'm guessing if they said which vessel that you drink out of is the one for hot liquids, it would be completely different. You know, stainless steel is whatever. Yeah.
I think a more interesting conversation is what, keeps things cool or keeps things hot the best for you out there. I know the one that I use here is good. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember the brand, to be honest with you. it's a good one.
It's got a big F on it. I don't know what that means.
Yes, it's got a big F on it. That's all I know. Shout out to that company.
company.
Well, they're not paying us anyway.
No free advertising.
No. I don't know. Let us know what you guys use out there and what you think, because there's so many good ones out there, and I think people are always looking for suggestions on these.
I'm surprised coconut didn't make it.
Oh, yes.
To me, that sounds refreshing. You're sitting on the beach, you got the coconut and the big straw. Oh. There you go.
Have you ever had that?
No.
I've always wanted to try it. I've never had it either, but I've always wanted to try it. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I couldn't resist this one.
Oh, all right.
At all. Well, you know, if you want a cold, refreshing drink, you got to have a frosted mug with a nice, tall glass of beer.
There you go, the old frosted mug.
The frosted mug. There's no better way to have a beer than in a frosted mug.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 100%.
But I would have to say most of my, with the cold drink, now that they come up with the thermal cups, like the Yetis and...
Yeah,
the
Yeti, that's...
From the Yetis, it keeps things cold. And they do a pretty good job of keeping things hot. So,
that's true. Yep. Same thing.
I mean, summertime, I'm pretty much got my thermal cup full of ice and it holds it. I mean, the surprising thing is that I can put ice in one of those thermal cups and it'll still have ice in it the next morning.
Wow.
So they do a pretty good job. And glass is nice, but then you get a wash, at least the thermal cups, you can rinse them out and
mm-hmm.
use them a couple of times, where the glass sometimes you pretty much have to throw in the dishwasher.
You got to wash them. Yep.
The tumbler industry has just gotten huge with these things too.
Yeah.
They've gotten the science and this down so well that there's a billion different ones that we've all mentioned here. We haven't even talked about like Starbucks or some of these other companies that have their versions of it. The tumbler market size has grown from 661 million to 823 million in the last couple of years, and they're predicting it to grow even bigger in the next couple of in the next 3 to 4 years. So this is apparently, if you're looking for stock to buy, maybe the tumbler industry is one of those to buy.
Insulation technology is one of the top things we got.
That's a good one, but I have to agree with you, man. Especially if you are having a cold one, there is no better way than with a frosted mug. That is good. That's great. Yeah, great reference.
Oh, it's always nice to have those.
Mm-hmm. Good to talk to you, brother. Have a great day. Safe travels out there.
All right. You guys have a great one too.
Best, all right. Best listeners in radio, every one of you. Here we go with shrinkflation. But it's an interesting take on this one, or an interesting story about it, I should say.
Okay.
Frito-Lay is adding 20% more chips to some of its bags after years of complaints about shrinkflation.
Oh, wow. Have we finally been heard?
We've been heard, people! A 2021 study found one version of Tostitos had dropped from 13 ounces a bag to 11 ounces, another dropped from 12 to 11, and of course, since we were little kids and we were excited to open that bag of chips, we have all been like, aw.
It's only half full. What happened?
They revealed the plan to add more chips in their quarterly earnings call. They used the term bonus bags.
Oh, come on.
So basically what we asked for, what it says on ounces on the bag, they're actually giving us what it says there. It's not happening with all their products. It sounds like it might just be their jumbo size bags and only for a few products popular with football fans. Tostitos, Ruffles, Doritos will all be mentioned by name. They're also only selling the new, quote, bonus bags at select locations. No word yet on which ones. Some of their variety packs are getting bigger, too. One that normally have 16 bags now have 18. So they've expanded that a little bit.
All right. So they've spent years taking it away, and now they're bringing it back, and they're giving us a bonus. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
It's what angers me, man.
I am telling you. And it's only with certain things. I mean, why?
And it seems so unnecessary.
It does.
It really does. It seems like, well, just, give what it says on the package.
Why squeeze it?
It doesn't seem that hard.
Why squeeze it?
I don't see why this is a difficult one.
No.
It doesn't seem hard. Just do what you were saying.
Do you really earn much more money by like taking out four chips, from a bag?
This is a frustrating thing. Yeah.
Anyway.
But I actually want to do one of these. We haven't done this in a while. Melissa and I were talking about this. We haven't done a taste test in a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Things we used to do all the time on here and everything. I kind of want to do that, but with these bags and seeing like how much is in them.
we should actually weigh it, Here, then make Melissa count.
And this is not just because I've wanted Fritos for days. It's not just so that I could get some. But I wouldn't do that. I would not do that to you guys.
No ulterior motives. It's pure motives.
Do you get that, though, where you get a taste for something and you don't have it, like in the house or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I should stop and pick some of those up.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to like three different places since this weekend. I've wanted them since this weekend. I've been to like three or four different places and completely have forgotten every place I go to. And no excuse.
That's all right.
We got a lot of great local things going on in the area, some wonderful local events. We want to take some time to talk about them. Seth, I wanted to wrap up the hour doing this with the haunted house coming up over at the ODC.
It is tomorrow, everybody. It is starting tomorrow over at the ODC, the Haunted Warehouse, from 6 to 9:30 on Friday and on Saturday. This is an all-inclusive, wheelchair-accessible event. It is free to the public. There are a couple of different ways you can do this. There is the Chicken Lane. I love that. Yeah. A kid friendly experience, which actually, if you read up a little bit more about it, it has to do with very good. It has to do with playing games, getting some prizes and candies. Fun, you know, for kids. But there's also an actual haunted warehouse. This is much more scary, everyone. So make sure you gird your loins when you're going in there. Mm-hmm. But it is fun for the whole family. There's going to be food trucks at the event as well. This is at the ODC, 1191 Huntington Avenue. For more information, go to their Facebook page.
I'm helping.
Very good, though. Yes.
And they could still maybe use some items, too, Seth.
Yeah.
I know that we're getting right at the cutting the line here and everything a little bit, right at the end here. But today, if you were able to drop things off, yeah. I'm sure even maybe in the morning tomorrow.
Especially, I'm guessing they probably need plenty of candy.
Yes.
For tomorrow and on Saturday. So that's one thing you could probably drop off, and I'm sure they would love to have it.
Visit our friends at the ODC, everybody. Support those that support this community and do some of the more vital work in this community.
If it's anything like last year, it's going to be busy. So get in line early.
You got to attend last year's.
I did, and we waited in line for a while. It was very popular, but it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
We know that our friends in around the country are dealing with some difficult times after the recent run of hurricanes that we have had. And we've got an update for you about this truckload of supplies that's on the way to North Carolina. They left on Saturday. I believe that everything has arrived and been being handed out.
Very cool.
And there's a second truck at the Pick and Save parking lot taking supplies. We appreciate people being able to drop things off. Keep in mind, if you are bringing boxes of items, if you can label them, that would greatly be appreciated.
Yes.
And we get these
help a lot.
Get these items to people that much faster.
Yes.
Those items that they're in need of: water, little buddy heaters, small green propane tanks, charcoal, small charcoal grills, baby formula, hygiene products, toothbrush and toothpaste, clean up supplies and clean bags, hoodies. Mm-hmm. Look around your house. Look around your apartment. Mm-hmm. You're going to see things that you use every day. Those are the kind of things they could use. They have lost mm-hmm. virtually everything, if not everything.
Yeah.
So many of these individuals. You can drop these items off again over at A Street South. We appreciate all of you being able to do that. And they're taking these from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So every day, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., semi-trailer at the Pick and Save on A Street South.
Until it's filled, I believe, and then they'll take it on down. So
we'll be back with more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And